when he ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, my son's come home.
For this command is a lamp, this teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way to life. Proverbs 6:23. Join Bishop Patrick Bruce of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bantama, as he brings you the pure, unadulterated Word of God. This teaching is anointed, practical, down to earth, and full of wisdom, and will refresh, energize, and bring healing to your body and soul. Listen to the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Oh, your clapping is very short-lived. Amen. How many like our new hall? We are trying to get it in shape. It's coming first for. Hallelujah. It will be very nice when it's finished. I believe it. It will be very colorful. What color should it be? Yellow. It's lighthouse people. But this morning, I believe we are happy to be here, and God is going to speak to all of us. And this morning, I think that what I have to say is important. I mean, every service is important, but this one, I believe that this one is something which we need to pay special attention. And I'm glad that you are the ones who are here this morning. Let us bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you so very, very much for today, this opportunity to gather here in your presence. Let it be such that no word will fall to the ground. Let it be such that your Holy Spirit is here to lead and guide and strengthen us and to cause us to be exactly that which you want us to be. Bless everyone that is here. Thank you so very, very much. In Jesus' name, and all the saints said amen. Put your hands together, you may be seated. This month, we have been talking about curses and how to neutralize them. And that is because of the reality of curses. I don't know what you think. Ask anybody, what do you think? Are there curses? What do you think? Ask your neighbor. Because there are some Christians who don't really deeply believe in these things. They think they are like Anansi stories, is a way of getting people to behave, is to frighten people and don't let them to do something they shouldn't do. You have no other power, so just say something that will frighten them, then they won't. So people will not all believe. But I believe. I believe in them. I believe because of two reasons. Should I tell you? Should I tell you why I believe in curses? Number one, the book that talks about curses is the Bible. It's not some book that occult book, the book of Satan, the 13th night in the 14th day. It's not those books. It's not the book that is written upside down with the print Chinese characters that is talking about curses. No. It's not those books. It's the Bible that talks about curses. And I believe the Bible. So I don't see why I believe the Bible. Leave out this thing, which is in the Bible. So, number one, I believe in curses. Amen. And number two, I have seen so many things that defy explanation. I mean, you see, tell anybody, you have to go to America. Tell anybody, you have to go to America. I beg you, go to America. Oh, please tap your neighbor. Tell him, I beg you, go to America at least for 3 or 4 weeks to travel around and see that America is a fantastic country. But where our people are is just like here. It's amazing. I've been to many countries, Europe, South Africa, America, and it is incredible that where the white people are is beautiful and orderly, even The street lights work. People stop at the street lights. Even motor stop. Everything works. But in that same country, where the black people are plenty, it's upside down. Tell somebody, explain it to me why it is so that where our people are there, Ham's children, where they are there, everything is chaotic. It's incredible. And let me add another one, is that I have seen sometimes in certain families or homes or peoples, there's a pattern you can't explain. I've seen it. Maybe because I'm a pastor, I talk to a lot of people, I go around, I encounter all these things. I have seen that there's a pattern. Sometimes you see a house where there are beautiful, beautiful girls, but nobody is married. I mean, I've seen some before. You have seen some before. Hey, let me see my classmates. We have plenty. We have seen it. How many have seen a family where nobody gets a job, nobody goes forward in life, everybody is there at their house, family house. They are all there. I mean, they'll go to school and then come back home again. They will get a job after 2 years, 6 months, whatever, they are sacked, then they come home again. And you see a strong, healthy boy sitting under a tree playing dummy. I mean, I've seen some before. And you wonder, a family where all the men are drunkards. Hallelujah. So I have seen that there are things that are difficult to explain if you don't add the spiritual angle to it. And that is why I believe in curses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And one other thing too I will say. I don't know why they are hammering in my church on a Sunday morning. One thing too I will say is that curses come from evil minds, okay, as a judgment or as a ruling on people. And very often too, in the Bible, you can see that it is rarely that somebody is cursed. What I see in the case of David, in the case of Ham, is that you and your children. Have you noticed that thing? Hey, are you here this morning? Have you noticed that thing? It is you and your children. In the same way that blessings are to the third and the fourth generation. When David cursed Joab, he said, may there not cease to be somebody in your family who is a leper, die by accident, who will not be hungry. He said, you and your generations. It's amazing. It is rarely that they will catch one person and take you out, but they always add your children to it. Hallelujah. Are you listening? And do you know why it's important? Do you know why this is very important? It's important because maybe, tell your neighbor, you have done nothing. Tell your neighbor, you have done nothing. Oh, take your finger and add it to your neighbor. Say, you have done nothing. And that is why you think that nothing should happen to you. But you don't know what your father has done, or your grandfather, or your uncle. You don't know what your ancestors have done. You don't know. You see, as you sit here, tell your neighbor, look at you sitting here in church today. Look at you. Do you know which of your relatives worships idols? Do you know? You don't know. Do you know the secret sacrifices of human beings? Please ask your neighbor, do you know? Maybe your uncle sacrifices human beings. Please ask your neighbor, do you know your uncle? Do you know what he does Friday night when he goes to town wearing his jalabia and his other things? Do you know what it is? Do you know where he has gone? When he has traveled for 3 weeks to the village, Then he comes back very happy and satisfied, and he has put on weight. Do you know what he went to do? And so as we sit here peacefully, calmly, you are assuming that everything is okay with you. Tell your neighbor, maybe it is not so. And very possibly, I mean, I was in the north for many, many years. I mean, you come to a house, you see a sacrifice openly in front of the house done by the father. Who has he done it for? His children. Ask, how many here are fathers? Ask any father, who are you working for? Please ask any father, who are you working for? All your sacrifice, all your sufferings, am I not seeing a thing well? Who are you working for? Today is Father's Day. I've gotten messages from my children thanking me for many things. And they said that they have chopped my money. And I said, it's true. Who am I working for? Who am I working for? All the sweat, all the labor, all the savings, all that I'm trying. Am I not saying a thing well this morning? Who am I working for? My children. My children. And anybody I call a child. So, when your uncle, your grandfather has gone to a juju man, a fetish, has taken goat blood, chicken blood, God forbid human blood, to do a sacrifice for power and protection, who is he protecting? Tell anybody, you don't want to say, but it's you. Tell anybody, you don't want to say it, but it's you. Oh, please point to anybody, say you. You are the one that curses it, all those things. Tell him, it is you, it's you, it's you. It's coming on you. Because he did it for you. Amen. And that is why I believe that we ought to, I mean, what the prophet says in the book, we have to have a respect for curses. Don't just dismiss it. I mean, it is true. A curse costless will not come. I mean, nobody can curse you by heart. That one there, don't mind them at all. Like right now, we are all dead. But there are other curses that are in operation that you have to be aware of and to counter them. Amen. Number one, if you see lack of marriage in your house, tap your neighbor, I'm talking. If you see lack of marriage, when I say lack of marriage, I mean beautiful girls of marriage age, handsome boys of marriage age who are not married. Markets. Markets. If you see some kind of poverty, are you listening to me this morning? Hey, are you here? If you see some kind of poverty, Ghana is hard, true or not true? How many are suffering? All of us are suffering. But a certain kind of suffering is special. A certain level, a certain depth, a certain hardship, a certain never-ending back-to-back brokages. Is it a good word? Broke. A certain brokenness is clear. I mean, we all struggle, but it is something remarkable. A certain, many graduates don't have jobs, true or not true. But a certain joblessness too is remarkable. A certain house, why this house, nobody has a job? Driver, mason, fitter, carpenter, that the whole family. No one person. I mean, ask about how. How? The whole family, no one proper person, proper job. No, how? I mean, we have these ones, yes. And even the mason cry is not doing well. And the carpenter can't do a straight table, can't stand. A table is like that. What kind of family is this? You know, so this morning, I want us to be mindful of, we have been on it for the whole month. In case you are now coming, this is what we are doing. And our aim is how to overcome and break these curses such that it doesn't tie us down, but we are free. Because some people are free. I mean, some people are free. Yesterday, somebody bought some land, bought my house, 100,000 cedis. They bought 3 plots. Tap a neighbor. Some people are free. Oh, tap a message. Some people are free. Don't say all are cursed. You buy 3 plots, 100,000 cedis. I don't think you are cursed. At least in this regard, financially. So I think that it is possible that to overcome some of these things. Hallelujah. I didn't hear a good amen. I didn't hear a good amen. Tell your neighbor, it is possible. It is possible. to overcome these curses. Some are doing it. Why not you? Why not you? Some are going to America and coming. Some are going to London for a weekend. And they go and come. Not politicians, by the way. They go and come. But why not you? Some are buying new cars and even buying car at all. But you are sitting here still like that. Ask me about Mauritia. Why not you? Buy you to go and buy a car. Hey, why not? So this morning, are you listening? There are many curses I've tried to mention, you know. But the mother of all curses, the chief curse, do you know what it is? Do you know what it is? It's death. It's death. 1 Corinthians 15 says, death is the last enemy. It's the last enemy. In fact, death is so unwanted that even when I talk about it, people don't look at me again. Yeah. Even when I talk about death, then I see everybody, people have changed. They say, this man, what is he trying to say? What am I trying to say? What am I trying to say? I'm talking about death. It's you who are afraid. Tell him, but ask him, are you afraid? Look at the universe, check his pulse. Put your finger on the neck here and check his pulse. You find that pulse is going tum, 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 tum. They are afraid. They are afraid of death. Yeah. And it is the last enemy. Hallelujah. Amen. One of the amazing things about death is that nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to die. There are some people who choose poverty. Some choose not to marry. Some choose different things. But death, even people who are sick don't want to die. Hey, they are praying. People who are sick, they are praying. Oh, it's not true. People who are very old, do you think the old people want to die? Eh? The old people, look, they don't want to die. Or they want to, how many have a grandfather who wants to live, still wants to live? I saw recently a man who was 60 something, has gone to marry again. Ask him why. And a man who was 96 married a woman who was 87. Yeah, they don't want to die. They want to live. And nobody wants to die. Amen. Even you, ask your neighbor, between me and you, who should die first? You see what they will say. Look for your best friend. Your best friend in this room. Have you found your best friend? Jacob, look at your wife. Find your best friend. And then ask your best friend, me and you, who should die first? You see the answer they'll tell you. You will see the answer they will tell you. Your best friend will say, I'll die before. They say, no, you should die first. Even look, it's not true. Yeah, they don't. Your best friend, my sister, is it not true? What did he say? He will die before you. He will sacrifice. Handsome young man, you won't sacrifice for her. No, not at all. Not at all. You should die first. Why? Because I don't want to die. I want to live. And so this death is the worst of all the curses. Is the last, what 1 Corinthians says, the last one. When you watch any proper film, the last one who comes is the strongest. The blue man, the killer. That last fight in most films is the strongest, the most difficult fight. And so death is that one curse that is. And when death holds you, poverty you can escape. Sickness you can go and come. Marriage, divorce, marry again. You can go and come. All of them you can go and come. But death, when it catch you, you are finished. You are finished. It doesn't let you go again. And that is why many of us would like to avoid death. Listen carefully this morning. Death, for being... Are you listening? Listen carefully. Death, of all the curses, you see, death being the greatest the most severe, most serious curse. If you can break it, what does that mean? What does that mean? It means you can break all the other ones. Yeah. If you can break it, you can break all the other ones. Because he's the blow man. He's the killer. He is the worst of all of them. So if you can break this thing called death and you can conquer it, you are a champion too. Hallelujah. And that is what Jesus did. Amen. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. It says, Christ has redeemed us. Redeemed means bought us back, saved us, redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He took our place. As it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this morning, Jesus Christ has broken that curse of the law. And you see, it says the law brings death. And the Spirit brings life. So he has broken that curse of the law to free us. Now listen to this. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. How Jesus conquered death and has brought us life. Amen. And so, verse 19. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so this morning, Jesus Christ, he who has the Son has life. So Jesus Christ has overcome death. Amen. Amen. And that is why we are evangelists. That is why we preach salvation. Because we are saving men from eternal death. And we are saving them from that curse of death. That they will now have life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Oh, I said amen. So Jesus has conquered. You know, that is why in his lifetime, he raised the dead. To prove that he has power over life and death. He has conquered it. This curse of death, he has conquered it. And that is why Jesus said, death cannot take me. Hallelujah. He said, no, John chapter 10, Jesus said, no one takes my life from me. No. He said, I lay down myself. If you remember, it's I think it's John, Matthew 26. He said, and he gave up the ghost. And he dismissed his spirits. He said, no, you can't kill me. I lay down my life of myself. And he said, I have power to lay it down. And I have power. You know, if you are awake, you would have found the scripture for me. But you are not. This morning, I think it's very cold. Is it cold? It's cold. It's cold. Yeah. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. It means that. And he had power to raise the dead. So he met the widow whose son was dead. They were going to the cemetery. He said, no, the first one was Jairus' daughter. She had just died. So he went to the house. When he got there, he said, oh, she has died. He said, no, she's not dead. They were laughing at him, that you don't know what death is. He says, I know. And he went to a room and lifted her up. He said, no. She was in a coma. Then the next time, a widow on the way to the cemetery, the boy has died and he's in the coffin. So now he's dead. True or not true? If you're in a coffin there, you are dead. Yeah, and then they were going to the cemetery. He said, wait, come back. And then brought him back. He said, hey, young man, get up and go home. And he got up and went home. They said, nah, it was a serious coma. It was a multi-coma. Hey, doctor, something like that. Say yes. Thank you. Say yes. Super coma. That's a banker is talking. So that one too, they didn't agree. Okay, we'll wait. So when Lazarus died, day one, day two, day three, day four before he went. By now he's dead. And even stinking. And then he went to the cemetery and said, now bring him up. You see, he was showing that he conquered death. Hallelujah. Oh, I thought you would clap over for this one. He has conquered death. No doubt about it. So when he himself died, he said, what again? And he told them, on the third day, I will come. Just wait for me. So, are you listening? Jesus overcame death. That death, tell me about that death you are afraid of. Jesus has conquered it in his life and in his death. I remember Form 1 or Form 2, we're playing hockey. I came to the hockey field last. So when I came last, they had shared all the posts. They said, Patrick, go to the goal post. I said, I want to play some. They said, no, they've shared all the positions. Go to the goal post and then just be there because we have no goalkeeper. So I went to the goal post. I was there. Look, it's very fearful. It's very dangerous to be in the goal post. But what happened was, there was some goal mouth scramble. Look, it was very, very dusty. I couldn't see anything. So I put my leg out and the ball hit me. And then it went away. They said, I'm a good goalkeeper. Look, the ball hits me and then they stopped. And then they were all clapping for me. I'm a good goalkeeper. From that day, I didn't see the ball. It was a mistake. But you see, that one mistake I did, they made me the class goalkeeper. I said, well, you're not serious. They will score me every match. Because one event that you are a champion. So, I see, you can't win one match that you are the league champion. You must win many, many matches. It's not one match or one game or one, go and see a girl, no, I like you just once, then she'll marry you. Tell me you are joking. You must say it many, many times, like me, many, many times, for many, many years, before she will agree. And so you guys do one thing. Jesus has conquered death totally. Amen. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Amen. And he has proven it in his life, in his after death, in his name. I mean, he has died and gone, but in his name, they are raising the dead. So are you here? So clearly, Jesus has conquered death. Hallelujah. Amen. How did he do it? How did he conquer death? And the answer is, he conquered death by his sacrifice. By his sacrifice. Hallelujah. Amen. So it says here, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What's the gospel? He's dying on the cross. Amen. Amen. He's dying on the cross. So Jesus is dying, and I told you, he has entered, he has made us able to enter heaven by his blood. By his blood, by his sacrifice. And so this morning, one of the way that Jesus conquered death was by his sacrifice. Hallelujah. And that is the key I want to tell you this morning. By a sacrifice. Are you listening? By a sacrifice. If by a sacrifice you can conquer the greatest curse and greatest enemy. By another sacrifice, you can conquer anything. I didn't hear an amen. By another sacrifice, you can conquer anything. Hallelujah. And so this morning, you see, by Jesus' sacrifice, death, which is so terrible, has become palatable. What do you say, palatable? Palatable. It means edible, something you can enjoy. Death, that is why Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, for me to live Christ and to die is gain. I mean, to die is gain. Look at what he's saying. That if I die, I'm better off than if I live. And that's down there. He says, for me to go to first Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, 22, 23, 24. Go there quickly. Yes. But if I live in this flesh, it is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I what not is old English. I don't know. And he said, I am in a, give me a, you see, these people here, they don't know King James. Give me a modern translation. He said, I'm in a dilemma. Should I live or die? Tell your neighbor, you have no such dilemma. You have no such confusion. You want to live. You, tap your neighbor, point at him and say, you. Point at anybody, say, you. I can't hear you. Say, you. You have no such confusion. You want to live, full stop. Poor cry, you want to live. Broke cry, you want to live. No money, no car, no house, nothing cry, you want to live. Somebody say, you too, why? But Paul said that, look, I am debating whether to live or to die. Whether to be here or to be with Christ. Hallelujah. I didn't hear a good amen. Because it is far, far better to be with Christ. But then he adds something. But for you, for your sakes, I'll stay in the body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to tell you something. Everybody here, and I don't want to make any... I'm not saying it easily. I'm saying it carefully. I'm saying it carefully. Everybody here, all of us here, we are likely under some one or two curses. All of us here. Look, tell your neighbor, if I get white handkerchief and I rub your face, it will turn brown. True or not true? Even though you bathed this morning. Not the foundation. I don't mean the foundation. I mean your skin. It will turn brown. If like go and wash your hands, when you finish, wash it again. You see that more death will come. True or not true? Because it is around us. Amen. It is around us. And so, tell your neighbor, even though you are sitting here nice this Sunday morning, wearing a nice dress, there is some kind of curse operating around you or in your family. Please tell your neighbor. When I say, they don't mind me. So you tell your neighbor. Even though you are sitting here this nice Sunday, dressed nicely, there is some kind of curse operating around you. Amen. There is something around you or in your family or somewhere. And that is why what I'm saying this point is very important. Because you must overcome it. You must overcome it and reduce it to a minimum. We all have bacteria on us. Doctor, true or not true? But we're not dying. Because some are at a minimum level. When they are very low, they won't kill us. When they multiply, then we begin to die. I'm becoming a doctor very soon. You wait. Yes. My friends are doctors and bankers. So I'm becoming one. It is possible that we reduce the influence of them to such a low level that you are above it. Amen. It can be to such a low level that when they see you, they see your blessings more than they remember your curses. When they see you, they don't say you're a black man in black Africa who is walking around. They'll see a man who's very happy with a beautiful wife, happy children, has money in his ATM account, has his house, is driving around. They will see a happy man, not a cursed man. I didn't hear an amen. Are you listening to me? It is possible to come to the place where when they see you, the first thing that comes is praise the Lord. Amen. The first thing that comes to you is praise the Lord. Oh, when I see this girl, I don't see somebody suffering, struggling, hungry, thirsty, desperate for. I don't know. When I see her, I say, your father is not happy to have such a daughter with an angel name. What a blessing. Oh, you won't clap for her. Yeah. So, are you listening? Listen carefully. It is possible. Listen to me carefully. It is possible to come to a place where they remember your blessings far more than any troubles you have. I mean, as I'm here, we all have troubles. As the front row, we all have troubles. But look, look, our blessings far supersede our troubles. It's not comparable. It's not comparable at all. I don't have any debts. I'm sure I owe somebody something. I don't have any debts. I don't owe anybody anything. But I'm sure I made a promise to somebody. And I'm sure. Your trip. I owe you something. You see you. To Paris. No, I don't. I'm not serious. No, I was joking. But I'm sure I owe my children. I promised somebody something. I've said I'll buy you something. I'm sure. So as I'm here, I owe somebody something. But I can't pay easily. I owe a wedding gown. I owe somebody a wedding gown. But it's not a problem at all. She's getting married next month. I've already paid it easily. Amen. So this morning, what I want to say is that for you, tell your neighbor, you, I think he's talking to you. For you to overcome the many curses that are operating around us, you must use the same key that Jesus used to overcome the death. That's the master curse, and that's sacrifice. That's sacrifice. Hallelujah. And that is sacrifice. And this morning, the master curse breaker is the power to sacrifice. And that is why I'm closing and I'm giving you two reasons why you must sacrifice. Hallelujah. Two reasons why you must sacrifice. Number one, look at your life. Look at you. As you are sitting here, when you look at yourself, do you see more blessings than curse, or about 50-50 or 65-40? How do you see your life? 50-50 or 45-55 is close, because you can't see a clear breakthrough. You mind me again. You have become quiet. I should go to another country and go and preach this message there. But I won't go. It's my church. I'm sitting here with you. I can see it. Here we are. Plenty of us are in the room. Go and count the cars outside. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're all here in the front row. The rest of you, where are your cars? Yeah. Where are your cars? The rest of you. Where are you? I mean, cars. I shouldn't say it. Jacob, I will not keep quiet at all. Hallelujah. Many of us, they bring you a bill, $1,000. Can you pay $1,000? They say, Charlie, a bill has come. Your mother is sick. Can you just cough up and pay right now? You cannot. If you lose your job today, you should live for 6 months at the same level of enjoyment as today. Can you? You cannot. So many of us, we are operating at a certain survival level. But yeah, I mean, you are okay. You are okay because somebody is poorer than you. Yeah, because that's why you seem okay. Yeah, you are deceived by the poverty of other people that is more severe. I don't know why. I'm not understanding my preaching today. Because others are hungrier, poorer, dirtier, working more. You feel you are okay. You are not okay. You are quite poor. You are quite down. We are not prosperous. We are not breaking. Nobody can say that you are living far above the poverty level. Nobody can say it. Nobody. Ask about how many houses do you have? How many houses do you have? You see, you can't even answer. The one cry is the problem. But you should be. That is, Jesus said, no, it's okay. Listen. It is, many of us have not broken through well. Many of us, I am sure there are seasons of need in our lives. I mean, you should come to a place where the tree in the New Jerusalem, the trees, they are one tree bears 12 fruits and bears fruit every month. There should be fruit in your life every month. You should, your account should never be near empty. As the month is going create, full, full, empty, empty, half. Very soon, it's getting near the E. It will be there till the next payday. Tell somebody why. Why? At the B, you shouldn't, you're driving your car near empty. No, it should be always over the half and far, far, far in the zone area. May you break away all these curses in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I'll tell you why you don't sacrifice. Few Christians sacrifice. Many Christians operate a normal life. They live a normal life as normal. They do all they have to do, and they do it because it is their right and their privilege to do it. But it is a sacrifice to give up those things. And many of us do not sacrifice anything. That is why we have so few workers in most churches. So few workers. We have members. Members there, baby. You just come the next service. Oh, here before. More members. But workers. No. No workers. Because it takes a sacrifice to be a worker for Jesus. I didn't hear an amen. Ask your neighbor, what are you sacrificing for Jesus? Tell them, don't lie to you. Don't talk lies. You have nothing, no sacrifice. You see, you think somebody said, I've come to church. You are mad. Come to church is a sacrifice. Come to church is a sacrifice. Then going to school is a sacrifice. If you like, don't go and see. You are going to be hungry, and poverty is going to be your partner for life. Amen. There is so much more we should have, but don't. Because there is no sacrifice in our lives. Hallelujah. Me, I've sacrificed. I've sacrificed. That's... Now I don't think about it again. It's normal. I just give up everything. Just recently, I gave up everything. Look, tell neighbor, because you don't... hold your neighbor's dress and shake him. Please, dress and shake him. You are saving him. Because you don't sacrifice. That's how you are what you are today. You know, you have a prayer list of topics you can't finish. Topics, baby, a whole list, about 17 items you can't finish. Because there's no breakthrough in your life. Because there is no sacrifice. You are living your life by your rights. All your rights and privileges, you take them. Amen. And number two, one of the most interesting things that I want you to consider this morning is that sacrifices, we have an enemy, do we not? Yeah. We have an enemy, a devil, a Satan, an adversary, an opposer who is trying to destroy us, cause pain, spoil our marriages, spoil our children, spoil our business. We have an adversary who is trying his very best to unravel our lives. And at the same time too, how many agree with me? Sacrifices are painful. You agree with me? They are painful. They are not easy to endure. And it's something which we don't wish for. How come? Listen to me. How come when there's something as painful as a sacrifice and we have an enemy who hates us, that enemy doesn't encourage us to sacrifice? How come the enemy rather wants you not to do something that is painful? If I was your enemy and I could cause you pain, I would do it. Whatever brings pain is what I will do. Now there is something that brings us pain and tears and sorrow, sacrifices. But in Daniel chapter 9, that is the one thing that the Antichrist comes to oppose. He says, no sacrifice. That's why Judas, when he saw the woman, the alabaster box, he said, why this waste?
trying to fight. Why should Satan fight you sacrificing? Why should he make it easier for you not to sacrifice? Because he knows the power that is released in you when you sacrifice. He knows that when you sacrifice, you don't become weaker. You become stronger. You become more capable. Receive the blessings that God has for us. He knows that when you sacrifice, you are passed to the Red Sea. You are out of his reach. Now we can't touch you again. When you sacrifice, you become untouchable. Because his power over you is fear and death and those things. When you don't fear it again, you are out of his reach. Why doesn't Satan encourage you to sacrifice? Because that is the power that breaks every curse. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to end on this note. Every one of us must decide to sacrifice something. Your time, your money, your energy. Your time, your money, your energy, your family, your freedom. I want every one of us. You see, many of us, you are a good Christian and you come to church and you hear a lot of messages, but you do nothing. You just go back home with the knowledge you have gained in this short time, which by tomorrow you have forgotten. And you do nothing with this knowledge. And that is why this, if you can wait for the second service, I'll preach another message. Going around in circles. That is why you are going around in circles. Going around in circles. After a long time, you are back where you started. Why? Because you can't break out of a certain captivity that is holding us. And to break out, it takes a sacrifice. And we are not sacrificing. We are just living. So you continue to live. And you can live like this until you die and never see the blessings that God has for us. This morning, I want to challenge everyone. Where are my people who said they will bring someone to church? Where are they again? Are you here this morning? You are here. Wisdom, right? Yes, wisdom, you are here. Where? See, they've all disappeared. Those who said they will bring somebody, can I see your hand again? Yes, did you bring someone today too? You did. Oh, clap for her again. Again. Come and see me again after church. Only you. Nobody brought something. Because it takes an effort. A deliberate effort to bring somebody. You have to go out of your way. Cost you time, money, effort, and even family time. To do something for God. That is the sacrifice that will lift you above the ordinary world we live in. Hallelujah. I want to challenge somebody this morning. Sacrifice. Your time, your money, your energy, your family. Don't you see, trying to gain things. Oh, I can tell you, you won't go far. You won't go far. Why? I've lived many years on this earth. I've seen that all the efforts of man don't yield much fruit. But if you sacrifice and give up something, you'll be amazed at the fruits it will bear. Because the seed, the corn of wheat, unless it falls to the ground, it abides alone. But when it does fall and it dies, it brings forth much fruit. May that be your sacrifice. May that be your mind from today, that I'll give up something for God. I will give up. And you see, it will be painful. I cannot lie to you. It will be painful. It will be inconvenient. It will cost you something. You will not be happy at the thought of it. But the results will be good in your life. Put your hands together this morning. Shall we stand to our feet? Hallelujah. Shabbat kataya. Put your hand over your head this morning and pray for yourself. Whatever curse is operating in my family, in my life, this morning I cancel it. I cancel it. I cancel it. I pray, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Maybe I can't see it. I can't recognize it. I don't know it. Lord, have mercy upon me. Basinde, bakotaya, bakotaya. Pray. We are in church. Pray. It's a church. Prayer is normal in a church. It's not special. It's not strange. It's not unusual. Pray. When you are praying, you're not doing anything supernatural. You're just talking to God, your Father.
That is why we are here. Pray. Shakate andede. Rabo kasaya. Rabo kasaya. Rabba kaketeya. Kakateya. Rabendede. Riyadada. Maybe I cannot see it. I don't think about it. But there's something not working in my family. Maybe not you, but your siblings, your uncles, your children, your nephews, your extended family. Maybe you have escaped by a grace or by your mother's prayers. Somebody has been praying for you. That's why you have escaped. But not everybody in your family and your loved ones. Say, Lord, there's a trouble in the country. There's a trouble in the land. There's hardship in Ghana. People are suffering. Some have escaped. Some are still in it. But pray for yourself. Just 1 minute. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and yeah, pray for yourself, oh, not for me, not for anybody else, for yourself, your future, how your life will turn in the years to come, in the next 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, what you will become, what you look at, you look like, in the name of Jesus. Are you going to be the same as you are now? Are you going to be the same, managing, balancing things, struggling, just going around, taking trot, taking taxi, taking whatever it is? Is this how you're going to be? Or you're going to break out and flourish, fly aeroplanes, buy your car, drive, finish your house, flourish and travel, see your children do well, see them rising up? That's that is the dream and their plan. But sende de katayanda, rambo ka sende de katiriande. It's not that I'm going to be like this forever. I'm going to change. I'm going to be a much better version of this one. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Just pray. Lord, cancel every such writing against me. Cancel every such stipulation. Every such contract, known or unknown, made on my behalf, with or without my knowledge. Cancel it, oh God. Cancel it, oh God. Kasendede, rabba katindede, rabo shidi andede. Yes, Lord. Oh, I cannot hear you pray at all. I cannot hear you pray at all this morning. For just a few minutes, lift your voice in prayer. Lift your voice in prayer. Open your mouth wide and say, Lord, deliver me from every trouble. Lord, deliver me from any family issue. Lord, deliver me from anything that is patrolling, howling, just crawling around my family. Let it pass over me. Let it pass over me. Pass over my children, over my family, my wife, my all that I have. Let it pass over. Deliver us. Deliver us. Deliver us. Lord, lift us into prominence, into prosperity, into well-being. Lord, lift us. I will not stay down. Let me go to a place where I will flourish. Where I will do well. Where I will do well. In the name of Jesus. Lord, break every chain. Break every limitation. Break every stumbling block. Break everything, oh Lord, that will keep me away from doing well. Lift your hand this morning. Now listen, because we are a church and we are a family, lay hands on your neighbor and pray for him too. And you too, you need deliverance. You too, you need help. You too, may God help you. Bakataya, lay hands on your neighbor and say, Lord, deliver my neighbor as you deliver me. Deliver my neighbor as you deliver me. Bakke kataya, Rabba sandada, Reboya, Reboya, in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. May I do well. May I do well. May we all do well. May we all do well. May we all do well. In the name of Jesus. May we all do well. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's why we are here. What is the use of being the child of a redeemer and you're not redeemed? Why be the son of a savior and you are not saved? And as we live in this house of God, may every blessing of Jehovah, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the good things spoken about in the Bible, may it come upon you in the name of Jesus. That blessing of Abraham, that he will be a blessing to other people,
May that blessing come upon you in the name of Jesus. Amen. That not only are you blessed, but around you, all those who you know and who are around you are also going to be blessed. Your relatives, your friends, your family, your colleagues. Because of you, somebody will be blessed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And because of you, life is going to spread into other homes. And Lord, let your hand be upon us this morning. Let your hand be a hand of blessing, a hand of goodness, a hand of promotion and uplifting and advancement. Let it cause us to go forward greatly in Jesus' name. But this morning, I want to bow your heads, every head bowed, every eye closed. You are here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You are here and you are not sure you are born again. You are here and you are not sure that if you die, you are going to heaven. If you are the one I'm describing, do me a favor. Just lift your right hand. I want to pray for you right now. You are here this morning. You are not sure you are born. Thank you, brother. I see your hand. You are here. You are not sure that if you die, you are going to heaven. You want to go to heaven, but you are not sure. I see your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Listen, do me a favor. Just come to me at the front. Just come to me at the front. Oh, clap for him as he comes. Just stand right here. I want us to pray this morning. I want to lead you in this prayer. And all of us who are here, maybe you are born again, but it's very good to rededicate your lives to the Lord. Please pray after me. Dear Jesus, today I come to you just as I am. Lord Jesus, forgive me all my sins, all the bad things I have done. Wash them away by your sacrifice on Calvary cross. Change my heart. Give me a new heart, one that will love you and serve you all my days. And Lord, prepare a place for me in heaven by your side. Write my name in the book of life. And from today, I am yours and you are mine. Father, thank you for this great salvation that I have received. In Jesus' name, amen.
When he ran to me, he took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said, "My son's come home."
We believe the word of God has come through to you. Join us at the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bantama, behind the Confidence Eating Place, this and every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. every Tuesday. Stay blessed. He called me back.